This narrative is a work of fiction crafted solely by the writer's imagination. Every situation and occurrence within is a product of creative invention, without affiliation to any political point of view. Please be aware that this episode contains explicit sexual content and strong language. Listener discretion is advised. The Stalker, an audio drama powered by Blind Flesh.
The U-Bahn station was almost empty that night, despite the fact that it was heavy rain outside. On the right, my eyes met two figures. A boy, judging by his appearance, maybe not even 18, and a woman, on her late 20s. Both were dark figures, both with jumpsuits and black hoodies shadowing their faces, both giving the impression of being hiding under their cloths. The woman went even a step further, hiding her lower face with a surgical mask. Looking to my left, I also saw two more figures. A homeless man with plastic bags on his feet and dirty clothes sleeping on the bench just a few meters from the on. I was sat on, and another man, judging by the appearance, also homeless, either sleeping or just heroin high on his wheelchair. I looked forward. Gneisenaustrasse, I read, on a white rectangle surrounded by dirty, soft green tiles. This city will never be clean.
Is she already there?
I read.
Don't fall in love, she is mine,
I replied.
Yeah, right,
he wrote back. Was she not? Her friend, the one with the hoodie and mask, awaited her with tenderly open arms. Her eyes traced delicate lines upon the canvas of her face, gently crinkling the skin, unveiling a warm smile beneath the mask she wore. She was wearing a shiny trench coat and leather boots. Her black wavy hair revealed what her night was all about, and she still looked euphoric. She was loud, speaking English with British accent. She definitely seemed under the influence of something. A strong something.
Lizzie, I'm so glad you came. I could never make it home like this.
Yeah, you look fucked up.
She hugged her friend and kissed her cheek. Friendship looks solid. As they went away, climbing the station staircase far away for what my ears could listen, their conversation faded. Slowly, my head turned, completely exposing my eyes on the right side. I looked only to witness the two women sliding up in my vision field, disappearing into the night, through a portal made of heavy rain. I grabbed my backpack and slowly walked to follow them. Both girls were hot. That motivated me. The light was red, but they crossed anyway. There were a few cars, but none of them really present. The avenue was large, and some business were still open. And like every night, there were several people around, but just like the cars, none of them were present. Nobody was watching me. Everybody was watching themselves. I stopped nearby the street, waiting and watching them getting smaller or further away, while I blend myself with the rest of the megalomaniac street shades. Perfect. Green light. As I walked towards a large entrance of a building for rain shelter, I leaned the weight against an old wall adorned with layers of torn posters and black tags and watched them at least a few meters away. Out of my backpack, I took out a drone. Silent, stealthy, with no lights, dark and for tonight task, invisible. With the drone on one hand and my smartphone on the other one, I started the subtle engine. Flew from my hand like a nightbird. Barbara Santiago. A woman with a cascade of dark, luxurious hair, possessing a curvaceous figure graced by naturally large breasts. Standing at a medium height, she exudes an enchanting allure with her Caucasian features, accentuated by the deep, alluring gaze of her dark chocolate eyes. Her skin was Mediterranean brown, but became paler now due to the lack of vitamins. Born in Gibraltar, January of 2003, came to Berlin to pursue her feudal dreams fueled only by ego, and felt into the abyss that this city really is. Her parents, middle-class people, had a Mediterranean tapas restaurant, never had any money problems, but they were far from rich. In fact, she gets in her account every month 1,500 euros, an international transfer from Emilia Santiago, her mother. She rents a room for 600, spends between 400 and 600 more in food and day-to-day stuff, and the rest of her parental subsidy goes to getting fucked up. Weed, hash, alcohol, and occasionally, some MDMA and speed. Has done shrooms, LSD, K and GHB once or twice each, and Adderall, lean and mescaline, are in her this year bucket list. Oh, and of course I forgot. From all these flavors of pleasure that this city provides, cocaine is the one that truly touches her heart. She studies to be a sound engineer, but had never finished the first year, even though she already paid her third year in the Berliner Sound Academy. She refuses to assume responsibility for her actions and lies constantly to her parents, friends, and everyone who is unfortunate enough to be caught on her web, until one day, the lie will be so big and slimy that will transform itself in a nightmarish creature and will devour her alive. Barbara stripped herself of her innocence a few years ago, the first time she, allegedly, stole 200 euros from a roommate and cheated on two boyfriends. She got lonely for a while and searched for her old friends back in Spain and Gibraltar, but in truth, she ran away from them, so nobody really either cared or had enough time for her dramas. Poor Barbara. She spent 1 year alone in this mad city, not needing to survive, only going out eating alone, partying with strangers in shady spots, and experiencing her sexuality mostly alone, first to fulfill her human needs, and later because it was who she chose to be. She got a bit fatter in that year, and her looks degraded slightly due to the unhealthy lifestyle she owned. She gained a habit of watching porn in her phone and computer, and gradually history stopped being cleaned, and minutes turned into hours, hours into nights, and some nights into mornings. She went out a few times, twice per month to be precise. Got some dates, but ghosted all of them, especially those which seemed to be working out. How do I know so many facts from a life that belongs to a stranger? First, because true freedom doesn't exist. A singular life always belonged to someone else or some entity or group. Nobody is free from the chains that pack them to the rest of the slaves. We all belong to the parents, to the church, to the party, to the group of friends, to the community, to the wife, to the children, to the dealer, to the seller, to the buyer. We all at some point realize that, and unless we live in the bliss of ignorance, we choose lying to ourselves to prevent premature death or insanity. The machine will keep on working, and for that the cogs must assume they are independent machines. Spare parts should think not for themselves. Because Barbara is a messy girl. She forgets important things, is irresponsible, doesn't preserve what she hadn't paid for herself, and need assistance constantly from an regular employee like me, which she looks with contempt, excluding the time she desperately needs my assistance. I work for a multinational technology corporation. Smartphones, to be precise. We deal with software issues and assist in some lesser cybersecurity cases, like data loss or theft. We check billing issues with an online store and stream service. It's a very large office. Multinational team. We deal with many kinds of customers on the phone, but mostly are impatient and rude. Barbara was no exception. Headphones on while working long shifts? Or perhaps just doing your weekend gardening? Lost in the rhythm of your woodworking project that seems to stretch endlessly? Or hitting the gym after a day's work? Believe me, I understand how tiring the day-to-day hustle can be. That's why I crafted this audio show. A blind episode to make your harder tasks feel lighter. If you're enjoying the tales narrated through your earbuds, why not show your support? Consider becoming a Patreon, or just buy me a coffee. Your support sustains the creation of more captivating content. Together, let's keep the stories flowing and the imagination alive. Oh, great. Another call. Let's see. Possible data loss or theft. Customer name. Barbara Santiago. Just says, everything is missing. What? This doesn't make sense. Good morning, Barbara. This is from X. How are you today?
Hey, weird. How do you know my name? That's creepy.
Well, my apologies if that sounded too much. You have requested this call and gave your personal details at the website. Am I correct?
Oh yeah, you are right. I completely forgot. Right, mate, here's the deal. You know them blokes, yeah? The ones who don't rate you for who you truly are, always banging on about how you gotta change this and that? Had one of them as a boyfriend, innit? Proper knobhead. Bet you've come across the type, right? The sort you gotta dump real quick. 'Cause he's just a proper piece of rubbish.
Well,
Oi, listen up. Got a right mess on my hands, mate. Friday night, snaps were all there, yeah? Woke up Saturday morning and bam, gone. I reckon he's gone and deleted him, the tosser.
I'm sorry to hear that your photos...
Don't be. No time for dilly-dallying. Listen up, mate. My pics have done a vanishing act. Need to know if that git nicked him before wiping him from my cloud. Get a move on, will ya?
Are you absolutely positive that your boyfriend stole them?
Yeah. The motherfucker had his mitts on my bleeding cloud. And he's my fucking ex, innit?
Okay, Barbara. Calm down, please. I'm trying to understand the situation so I'm able to find your pictures. I need to ask you some questions to understand all the possible scenarios, okay?
Oh, ain't this gonna be fun?
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna make your life easier. I can find those pictures for you, since I might know a few tricks. I suggest a screen sharing session, if you want this solved fast and effortless. The session will be recorded for quality purposes. If you are comfortable with this, just accept the invitation I just sent to your smartphone screen.
Yeah, right, whatever. Done, accept it.
As I might have mentioned before, Barbara is a bit disorganized. She had never actually stored the photos on her phone. After a lengthy rant about the day she mistakenly accused her eccentric boyfriend, who neither appreciated her, nor valued her properly, she recalled removing her memory card while drunk. Consequently, the pictures were never stored on the phone in the first place. So the data was neither lost nor stolen. Quite amusing, don't you think? That's Barbara for you, attributing her messy behavior and even worse habits to someone else. We went through the echoes of her memories, a clandestine journey through photos and chat relics. Inevitably, I found myself entranced, peering into the secrets of her intimate world. Nude pictures on the mirror, a curated collection of erotic toys, sealed drug bags concealing unspoken stories, and moments shared amidst a haze of smoke. All this ungracefully framed in between her loyal dog photos, showing the lack of need to hide the obscene parts of her life. Unconcerned about my voyeuristic gaze, she left the ethereal traces of her journey. Some mirroring the allure already shared with the world. Why then keep these enchanting fragments hidden? This call, for me, unfolded as a clandestine thrill. I skillfully acquired screen captures, little trophies seized from the digital realm, discreetly stored in an email to myself. The pleasure derived from glimpsing at her curves eloped with bedsheets reflected on her wardrobe's mirror, nearly eclipsed the memory of her persistent rudeness throughout the entirety of our conversation. Some of those pictures gripped my attention, notably those featuring her alongside another woman at the entrance of the infamous club, Bergheim. Another depicted her within an expensive sushi restaurant that I tried once upon my arrival in Berlin. Curiously, like many mentally fucked up individuals, she could easily pass for a local resident. The photos appeared recent, though we didn't sift through the entirety of her phone's memory. Intrigued, I perused her file to locate her address, discovering it was from Gibraltar. A peculiar detail, as I had not encountered such residents before, since this was the German thread and this branch operated in Berlin. I checked her email address, barbara.santibunny0307@gmail.com. What an email. Would she still be using that?
Can you believe that absolute wanker? He was shagging some other bloody tart on the sly. The tosser was incessantly recording, and then they were at it on my fucking bed. Well, not precisely my bed, but the bed where I shared the sheets with him at his place. So, more or less my bed. I feel like utter rubbish. However, sometimes, I recall that I also gave a massive blowjob to his best mate. But no one bloody knows that, so it doesn't really count, does it? Well, thanks for lending an ear, love. I know it's your job, and you can't exactly refuse it, which is precisely why I'm filling your ears with my shit. However... Nah, forget it. You might be flaunting a massive hard-on at this very moment, so you should be the one bloody thanking me.
Thanks for choosing our services, Barbara. I hope I assisted. Is there anything else that I can do to prevent your ex-boyfriend to invade your digital property?
What can we honestly do then? Switch up me password, yeah?
Right now, that's pretty much everything you can do.
Well, I know how to bloody do that, don't I? Click on settings, tweak the profile info or whatever, and then
no,
just...
Barbara, that's mainly the phone password. We always advise for customers in cases like yours to change it directly on the cloud's website.
Can you show me that?
Sure. Just enter the website.
Yeah, and?
Click on your profile. Change password there.
Like this, here.
Yeah, just change it there now. It will ask to confirm.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I can manage from here. Bye.
We will send you our satisfaction survey so you can rate my... Bitch.
Are you a creative soul, bursting with stories, but find yourself struggling when it comes to narrating them? Do you long for the perfect voice to bring your characters to life? Look no further than 11 Labs. With 11 Labs, you can transform your written masterpieces into captivating audio experiences, whether you're crafting your own tales or need to convert school texts into engaging audio. 11 Labs has got you covered. What sets 11 Labs apart? It's simple. Our cutting-edge AI software offers a plethora of voices for you to choose from. Need a soft, soothing voice to narrate a bedtime story? We've got it. Craving a harsh, commanding voice for a thrilling adventure? Look no further. With 11 Labs, the possibilities are endless. Don't waste another moment struggling to find the right words or voice. Elevate your storytelling game with 11 Labs today. Click the link in the description to explore the magic of 11 Labs. Your stories deserve to be heard.
Ja, genau. Die nächste am rechten.
Parken Sie hier bitte.
Danke, gute Nacht.
Tschüss.
For the record, I managed to steal her password. Just not that day. It's showtime. My drone rested on the balcony half wall, positioned between a modern, yet to be finished building and a quaint, narrow street. By situating it there, I gained a strategic field of vision over Barbara's and benefited from camouflage, as the still unfinished Soviet-styled building directly behind me was already adorned with graffiti. In contrast, Barbara's building possessed a distinct charm. Despite its age and apparent lack of maintenance, it exuded a certain beauty. Bathed in a powerful yellow aura from the emitted lights, it conveyed the appearance of a lively, loud place. She resided on the third floor. The walls were constructed of glass nestled between sturdy, weathered rock columns. Behind some of these glass panels, various curtains, both opaque and obscuring my view of the space, dangled. However, only the kitchen lights were aglow. Both of them were there. Seated at the table, engaged in conversation. Lizzie appeared drained, while Barbara seemed invigorated. At this juncture, the discussion between them morphed into more of a monologue, with Barbara seemingly conversing with herself. Inevitably, Lizzie stood up, planted a kiss on Barbara's forehead, and bid her good night. In her room, the lights were on, but the curtains obstructed the view. Barbara, in high spirits, dashed to her room and shut the door. She adjusted the heater, pushed the curtains aside to distance herself from it, and then proceeded to remove her shoes and clothes, placing them in a pile of old garments that appeared to have been there for a few days. Clad only in underwear and socks, she walked to a door within her room, presumably leading to the bathroom. She lingered there for a moment, eventually emerging with toothbrush in her mouth, heading straight to her computer. As she waited for it to start, she connected a pair of sizable headphones while continuing to brush her teeth. Her body contorted, perhaps from a pressing need to use the bathroom, or maybe due to the chill in the air. 3 a.m. The city is sleeping. For those who sleep. For those who don't, the city was burning. Burning for desire. Barbara left her headphones on her secretary and walked again to her private bathroom. She turns off the room. Light closes the bathroom door. After something like 15 minutes, she walked right back in. This time she was dangling her body towards a small, cheap-looking living room table and dragged it slowly to the edge of her bed. In an attempt to reach the drawer of her bedside table, she gracefully positioned herself on all fours, inadvertently unveiling her intimate space to the lens of my drone's camera. She had a caramel-toned, hairless skin, and her robust legs were a luscious lure of longing lust. In the soft glow of the computer lights, her contorted feet unveiled the delicate wrinkles on her soles, adorned with a warm, golden hue that surpassed the beauty of the rest of her body. The density of her luscious, black, curly hair distinguished itself in the darkness, a seductive contrast that added to the allure of every form illuminated in the room. In stillness, she gently sought a petite black bag, and that fleeting moment unfurled like a mesmerizing scene from a slow-motion masterpiece in my perception. Effortlessly, she tossed the bag onto the table and rose from the bed, one leg extending outward, the foot arched to bestow an extra height, while the other foot seamlessly aligned with the rest of her body, standing erect. Her hand glided over the top horizontal wardrobe door, revealing another black bag nestled inside, this time a larger one. With a single fluid movement, she lifted it from the overhead wardrobe storage to the summit of her plush feathered blanket. The bag, possessing an air of mystery, seemed to carry a weighty enchantment. With a graceful sway, she rose once more, her naked body, gliding towards the laptop. The living room table, freshly dragged, awaited the placement of her essentials. Seated on the edge, facing the laptop screen, she indulged in a symphony of clicks and scrolls, eventually adorning herself with oversized headphones that promised to immerse her in a world of sensations. Turning her attention to the bag, an air of anticipation lingered in the room. The unveiling commenced as she delicately opened its contents. From inside it, she took her cherished erotic toys, nestled alongside a glistening bottle of lubricant. Arranging each item with deliberate care on a tray perched atop her modest table, she embarked on the next act. The small bag, a repository of intriguing possibilities, beckoned her attention. With an artful touch, she unfurled its secrets, each belonging revealing it to be drugs. She gracefully reclined on the bed, tilting her head she twirls, then twists, tenderly taming her hash, leaving everything meticulously prepared. After retrieving her ashtray and lighter from the desk drawer, she adorned the bed with several generously sized towels, draping them over the blanket, each movement harmonized with a seductive dance. Playfully swinging her feet, twirling her body, and elegantly waving her arms, she crafted a regal throne of plush cushions. Finally, she ignited the lava lamp on her bedside table, casting an alluring purple glow over the scene. With finesse, she carefully slides her credit card building two lines of white powder, while her other hand was searching inside the bag, delicately retrieving what appeared to be a purposeful steel straw from the depths of her drug purse, crafted, I believed, for the indulgence of cocaine. As her nose embraced the initial line, her body gracefully descended, resurfacing in a state of glorious ecstasy. Her chest expanded, arms outstretched, and pelvis provocatively leaning forward. A living sculpture, she embodied an arch, gracefully curving her back, while her hands sensuously twirled her dark, curly hair, creating an orgasmic self-embrace that lingered in time. As the crescendo of this euphoric interlude reached its pinnacle, she seized her hair from the nape of her neck with a powerful grasp, pulling with a force that seemed to mirror the intensity of the moment. Simultaneously, her left hand found its place, sensually squeezing her voluptuous breast. After a lingering moment, she unveiled her eyes once more, ignited a large joint, and reclined against her pillows. In this tranquil repose, her middle finger found its own way and softly started twisting circles, making her aura radiating an exquisite blend of burning fervor and loneliness. She slowly opens her legs, exposing her femininity, spreading her juice around her labia. She looks soaked on her own fluids. As time passes and the joint is becoming smaller, she seems to speed her hand, eventually sliding down both of her middle fingers inside her. Her body slowly seems to contract, her toes clenched, the legs shook, and breathing became unstable. In a large moan, her body softened and stopped. She opened her eyes widely, and in a shock with reality, She stood there, eyes bugged, looking towards her silicon toy. Without getting up, she reaches her arm to her toy's bag and then peruses between objects. From inside it, she pulls a rolled stripe, which she unrolls and meticulously tights around her left foot and then her right foot, carefully constructing a comfortable pair of shibari sandals made of soft, dark green velvet. She retreated to her place with brisk steps, each one a decisive beat in the rhythm of her movement. A few more draws from her joint, and she surrendered herself to the mattress. Cushions cradled her head, while a hint of velvet added a softness to her surroundings. Her hips arched upward, offering a tantalizing view to my lens. Hair cascaded, veiling the shadows behind her, as her hand clutched her toy with a primal grip. She drizzled lube like ketchup on a hot dog, liberally coating her toy with slick anticipation. With tender care, the tip of her plastic dick danced on the edge of her entrance, teasingly coaxing her depths to open and swallow it. Her face of pleasure was divine. As she steadily pumps her toy within, my gaze momentarily wanders. Memories flood in, like ink spreading across parchment. Carla emerges from the recesses of my mind, her essence vivid and tangible. Her skin, a canvas of soft brown hues, adorned with the graceful etchings of time's passage. Dark waves of hair cascading like shadows against the Lisbon sky. Brazilian by birth, neighbor by chance, her presence etched into the fabric of my days. A ritual unfolded. She'd appear on her balcony, cigarette in hand, and I, drawn by the symphony of her movements, would follow suit.
Olá, vizinha!
To her, I would speak, but her gaze seldom met mine. There lingered a distaste, a disdain unspoken, veiled beneath the guise of indifference. Something about me, perhaps, stirred a discomfort she could not disguise. In her eyes, I glimpsed the reflection of my own inadequacies, mirrored back with cold indifference.
Ainda não comprou o isqueiro, né?
I forgot.
Nossa, você é impressionante.
She hands me over her lighter, and in this gesture, our fingers slightly touch themselves. I remember I felt shivers when that happened. How was your day, Vicinha?
Bom.
She ground the half-smoked cigarette into the ashtray, its embers fading among the remnants of countless others. The weight of our failed discourse hung heavy in the air, a silent testament to the chasm between us. There was a palpable aversion, an unspoken truth she couldn't articulate. And I, resigned to her indifference, refused to compel affection where none existed. I am who I am, molded by the hands of fate and circumstance. I cannot be more, nor will I diminish myself to satisfy another's expectations. In the solitude of my room, I sought solace in the glow of my laptop screen. There she was, Carla, bathed in the soft light of her own laptop. This emotionless window provided the only connection between us, in my vast expanse of dark, empty loneliness. And as she drifted into slumber, her chest rising and falling in rhythmic cadence, I found solace in the simple act of witnessing her falling asleep. And so my days slipped away in this monotonous rhythm, returning home from work, weary and worn, baking a low-grade pizza in the oven, retreating to the balcony to smoke, and silently observing the world bustling below. When she ventured out for her own smoke, I often found myself trailing after, grasping at straws of connection in a desperate bid to alleviate the crushing weight of loneliness. But her polite dismissal of my overtures only deepened the ache within, leaving me to finish my cigarette in solitude and following her then from my laptop screen. But then, amidst the sweltering summer, I saw her less and less, leaving a void that hung heavy in the dry air. Despite her absence, I knew she still occupied the apartment next to mine, as I heard her from time to time. Days turned into weeks, and my anxiety grew with each passing moment without sight of her. One night after work, seeking the comfort of a cigarette, I stepped out onto my balcony. It was then that I noticed a figure emerging from her window, a man shrouded in the darkness of the night. His sudden appearance filled me with a mix of curiosity and unease, disrupting the quiet rhythm of the evening.
Excuse me, can I borrow your lighter?
Yeah. Here.
Pretty night today, huh?
For weeks on end, this stranger infiltrated Carla's life, becoming an inseparable part of her world. No longer did she retreat to her balcony alone for a solitary smoke, nor did she immerse herself in movies or meals without his presence. Their intimacy was palpable, their desire for each other undeniable, leaving me an outsider in my own existence. As their passion unfolded behind closed doors, I found myself sinking deeper into solitude, my nights haunted by the unmistakable sounds of their union. The ache of longing and the sting of betrayal intertwined, a bitter reminder of my own unrequited affections. Inevitably, I reached a breaking point. I embarked on a quest to uncover the truth, leading me to the doorstep of a man named Matthew Jeremias, age 52, a father to two teenage daughters and wedded to Linda Jeremias, who remained across the ocean in New Jersey. This guy was a fucking disgrace. I couldn't deny that I had suspicions, for everything about him painted an aura of pristine perfection. Being a hacker, I understood that everyone hides secrets, especially the ordinary middle-aged men. The cheating ones are actually the more common, and the least dangerous. With resolve coursing through my veins, I deployed one of my disposable email addresses, attaching damning evidence of Matthew Jeremiah's deceit alongside images of his family. The weight of my actions settled heavy upon me as I resumed my nightly routine, seeking solace in the familiar comfort of tobacco and solitude. The satisfaction of exposing his deception mingled with the bitter taste of Carla's disdain, a reminder of the animosity festering between us. Later, as I stumbled upon Carla on her balcony, a cigarette poised between trembling fingers and tears streaking her cheeks, her hostility towards me remained palpable. Undeterred, I lit my own cigarette, the smoke swirling around us like a veil of silent accusation. In that moment of shared silence, I couldn't help but wonder if Carla's tears were born of regret or resentment. Regardless, her disdain over me remained untouched, hanging heavy in the dry late summer air as we both sought refuge in the haze of cigarette smoke. Pretty night today, huh? She didn't answer, and after she had finished her cigarette, she departed through her window without a backward glance. That was the last time I saw her. Carla's departure marked the end of an era, a silent exit that spoke volumes of her indifference towards me. Not once did her gaze linger in my direction, nor did she give me with more than a fleeting glance. The balcony, once a sanctuary of shared solitude, lay abandoned, devoid of the familiar sight of her smoking silhouette. Her departure mirrored the frigid distance that had always existed between us, neither rude nor kind, but a cold indifference that cut deeper than any insult. I couldn't help but wonder what it was about me that repelled her so vehemently. Was I inherently flawed, a pariah in the eyes of the world? The eczemas on my fingers, remnants of our brief encounters, served as a cruel reminder of the non-existent connection we once didn't share. As I traced their outline, I couldn't shake the feeling of being branded by her rejection, forever marked by the soft, rotten skin scars. By now, Barbara came countless times, each orgasm blurring into the next in a haze of euphoria. Lines of powder disappeared into her nostrils mere moments ago, fueling a frenzy that now manifests in wild, uninhibited dance. Naked and unashamed, she moves in a primal flow. Her movements fluid and unrestrained. Her hips gyrate with an intoxicating rhythm, invoking primal urges buried deep within the soul. In the throes of euphoria, she embodies the essence of raw femininity, a goddess of pleasure and abandon, lost in the ecstasy of the dance. In her fervent choreography, she finds liberation, a fleeting reprieve from the burdens of reality, as the world outside fades into obscurity. Barbara, driven to euphoria verging on madness, dances wildly, her naked body illuminated by the pulsating lights. Swiftly swinging her head, she succumbs to the relentless beat, thrashing against the window and vomiting on the glass. Falling to her knees, Barbara convulses violently on the floor, her body racked with spasms that ripple through her form. Foam spills from her mouth as her eyes roll back into her skull, and her body consumed by the depths of her frenzied trance. In the dim light, she is a specter of raw vulnerability, lost in the tumultuous currents of her overdose. Fuck. With some hesitation, I reached for my phone, fingers trembling as I activated the controls of my drone. With a sense of urgency mingled with morbid fascination, I directed the drone towards Barbara's window, adding a life or death situation to the scene unfolding below. There she was, writhing and contorting on the floor, her body a vessel for some unseen force. The drone captured every twist and turn, every convulsion and spasm, transforming the bizarre spectacle into a haunting visual silent symphony. As I watched from the safety of my screen, a chill crept down my spine, mingling with a perverse sense of exhilaration. Barbara's torment became a spectacle through the lens, a twisted dance of agony and ecstasy, immortalized by the unblinking eye of the drone. Shit! Frantically, I commanded my drone, my nightbird, to smash over and over against her friend's window, each knock, a needy nudge, a pleading plea for a helping hand. Around 20 times it knocked, the sound echoing through the night, until finally Lizzie emerged, her face a mask of perplexed horror, as she gazed up to my mechanical intruder. The drone stepped back as Lizzie watched it in silent horror and fear. Her eyes tracked its movements with a mix of disbelief and dread, frozen in place as if unable to tear herself away from the unfolding spectacle. Then, in a sudden and violent twist of fate, the drone careened into the next window, Barbara's window, and shattered upon impact. The camera remained on, capturing the chaos that ensued. Lizzie rushed to the scene, her heart pounding in her chest, only to find her naked friend convulsing on the floor, the telltale signs of an overdose unmistakable. In the flickering light of the camera, Lizzie's scream pierced the night, a primal cry of anguish and despair echoing into the darkness. Shit. My drone is dead.
Hello?
Ich habe genau das gesehen, was du gesehen hast. Du weißt, was du tun musst.
Wann werden wir wieder sprechen?
Wenn es kein Zurück mehr gibt.
Thank you for listening to The Stalker. Music by Haircuts for Men, Bleak Occasions, Anonym Antonym. Original story written by me. Remember, your support keeps the good content flowing. An audio drama powered by Blind Flesh.